listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, Nathan Segura, Matt Wilhelm. Time to bring in our producer, Mr. Jason Gibbs. Play a little after further review. Again, John DeFilippo, the Browns offensive coordinator, was on with us at around 2 o'clock today. If you missed it, I recommend getting that on the Browns mobile app, which you can download in the Apple or Android stores, or at clevelandbrowns.com. That was a good interview. He's got a plan, and I'm excited to see him get an opportunity to implement it. Gibbs!
Hi, guys.
What's up, Gibbs?
After further review.
All right, guys. Question number one today. Of all the players that have been cut in the past 72 hours, there have been quite a few. Which one is the most appealing to you if you're at the Browns front office?
Well, I'm going to go with Captain Obvious, only because he is in this building. And I'll say Brian Hartline. For them to seek out, you know, the Dolphin, former Dolphins wide receiver, and bring him here for a visit, probably to get it, you know, try to nip it in the butt before he goes anywhere else, and woo him with the possibility to be a starter here in Cleveland. I'm going to go with Brian Hartline simply because he's in town right now.
Interesting. There's a lot of guys that are out there in the last 72 hours. I'm not sure if these guys have all been in the last 72 hours, but
it's all right. It can be passed if that's the case.
I mean, I wouldn't mind bringing in a guy like a Darnell Dockett to the defensive line. I think he might be a little bit pricey.
He wants to stay on the West Coast.
Coming off a torn ACL, but certainly somebody that I think could be pretty darn pretty good and pretty effective player for the Browns. I think the wide receivers that would get cut that I'm still looking at as being somebody that people that I like haven't been cut yet. We've heard Steve Johnson's name in San Francisco. We've heard Pierre Garçon in Washington as a potential cap casualty.
Bring him back home.
Oh, would love to get Pierre Garçon. So those would be the kind of guys that I'm looking at more. Really, of the ones who are cut, given knowing what the Browns wanted to do at the quarterback position, to me, it seemed like the best choice was Josh McCown. They got that guy. I'm not necessarily – I do think Brian Hartline could be a valuable, you know, player for this team. I don't know if you're looking at him as your number two, if you need to, for example, be the first one to jump in on him without seeing what else is available to you on the free agent market.
Sure. After further review
– Greg Little would be high on my list too, though.
Who?
Greg Little.
Oh. He's blowing up the depth charts. Question number two today, guys. Detroit did not franchise tag Ndamukong Suh yesterday. Good idea or bad idea?
I'm going to say it's a good idea, simply centered around the fact that he would be very, very expensive to either tag and or the type of free agent deal, or the, I'll say not even free agent deal, but a deal that Detroit would have to give him to keep him from going to free agency. I think he's going to get an Albert Haynesworth type of payday, you know, $100 million, similar to J.J. Watt because he is that disruptive. So, for Detroit, yeah, I know they've been centered around defense as of late with Calvin Johnson and that offense kind of sputtering. They've released, you know, Reggie Bush, but they're set. They have Matthew Stafford still. And maybe they think they can go get two or three guys, you know, on the defensive line to replace the value that Ndamukong Suh brings to their team.
I think it is going to be very interesting what ends up happening with him. I obviously, they thought that the tag was not palatable for their salary cap structure. They're still trying to work something out with him. I don't know that they felt they had a choice. A lot of people, Pete Prisco, amongst other pundits, thought it was imperative that they get Ndamukong Suh. But there, people are talking about Ndamukong Suh maybe getting, you know, north of $20-25 million, which is outrageous.
Oh, yeah, I heard a report yesterday, 26-28, which is blows my mind that that would be the case.
The top defensive tackle on a per-year basis right now is Gerald McCoy at $13.6 million. Ndamukong Suh was second at 12.9. So just by doing my calculations, if you take those two salaries and add them together, you're at 26.5. And that's what they think he's going to get. Is Ndamukong Suh worth that to anybody? I don't know. I mean, you'd have to take McCoy, Geno Atkins, which is the first, if you take Sue out of it, would be the first, second, and then Kyle Williams would be third at $7 million, and that's basically getting just a little north of what Ndamukong's going to make, and those are the three other top-paid defensive tackles in the 4-3 in the NFL.
Here's my problem. The guy spends how many games a year being suspended?
And he's a little bit, right, he's a little bit of a loose cannon, a little bit of a head case.
So are you getting the full 16 games? I don't know.
I don't know if you are.
After further review.
Question number three, guys. best use of a franchise tag by a team and the worst use of a franchise tag by a team this year.
I'm going to go best use of a franchise tag with Justin Houston in Kansas City simply because he led the National Football League in sacks last year. He is still trending upward, I believe almost 47 sacks in his first four seasons. So he's a guy that is impressed over the course of every single season and gotten better every year. In most cases, the Kansas City Chiefs used it so that he did not hit the open market because they're going to secure him with a significant, probably, you know, multi-year deal as well. Worst use of the franchise tag is I'm going to go with the New York Giants franchise tagging JPP, Jason Pierre-Paul, only because I think he is leveled off. I don't believe he's trending upward, and he's not going to get significant outside or, you know, defensive end pass rusher money like guys have in the past, like when Julius Peppers broke the bank in Carolina or in Chicago as well. So they did it, and I don't think that his market value was as significantly high as the Giants might have thought it would be.
I'm going to go best cap. I'm going to go Cowboys, Dez Bryant. I think he's part of the heart and soul of that team. He had to keep him there, and worse would be the Patriots tagging their kicker, Steven Gostkowski. They should have tagged Devin McCourty. Given that my buddy is his agent, I'm glad they didn't. Better for my friend, but I'm surprised that they didn't tag Devin McCourty.
What is going on with McCourty and the whole Patriot thing right now? What I mean, it's kind of you heard a little rumbling during the playoffs, and not to tag him yesterday. What do the is that this year's Bill Belichick's surprise cut?
McCourty?
Yeah.
Well, I think they're trying to figure out what they can do with Revis, so they didn't want to tie up that big guaranteed chunk. Is what I think happened. I think that they were just trying to figure out what the guaranteed chunk was. And what they need to get for Revis, and then they're going to worry about McCourty. I think they're taking a big risk. I don't know that they're going to get McCourty back.
After further review.
Yeah, I was surprised too. That was very interesting to me yesterday. But hey, we franchised a kicker twice.
Listen, and Bill Bell, they're all about that business up there in New England. They don't feel like negotiate. They do what they do, and that's one of the reasons.
And somehow, some way, it always works out.
It does, but I mean, if I'm a player, I'm not taking a hometown discount to play for New England unless, you know, all I care about is winning, because that's a team that will turn around and cut you faster than any team.
And in some cases, that's
in the league.
That might be your only chance to get big
paid,
second contract.
When you're 28 years old, 27 years old in your prime, get the biggest contract you can get. This is the NFL.
Final question today, guys.
This is the easiest question ever, by the way.
No.
Yes.
Really?
Oh, yes.
I don't know.
I thought you might have an outside-the-box perspective.
If you could party with one NFL player, who would you go out with?
One, two, three.
Gronk.
Yep.
No one else.
That's how easy it is.
Wilhelm.
Gronk.
Wilhelm, who was the big partier on the Chargers when you were playing?
Stephen Cooper. I've told multiple stories to Nathan.
Stephen Cooper sounds like
off,
a good time.
Off of air. And, I'd say PG-13.
I don't know if you want to go out with Stephen Cooper, though, if you have, like, with your girlfriend.
No, you do not. You want to go out with Stephen Cooper as a single individual.
Yeah.
You do.
Uh-huh.
Yes, and it'll be a blast. You want to go to Vegas with Stephen Cooper as a single individual.
Oh, it sounds phenomenal.
Yes, it is phenomenal.
Now, Gibbs, you thought that wasn't out. How could it not be Gronk? Who else could it be?
I mean, you would think Gronk, but you're throwing it out there. I'm throwing it out there.
Who would you choose?
You know, I'm trying to go through, trying to figure it out. What about on the Browns? I think.
Well, I'll say based around the picture on the private jet on our way to Vegas, the only guy to party with is Joe Hayden. He's got the private jet. They're throwing touchdown passes with $10,000 stacks.
We're gonna take Johnny out of it because
correct.
Hopefully coming
yep.
out
Johnny
correct
because
he's excluded.
He's in the same. Yes. He's in the nest right
he's
now.
He's in the trust tree.
Yeah, he's in the trust.
So correct. I would go outside of that. I'm gonna go out of the box.
Go ahead.
Buck Wild Billy Wynn.
That would probably be really fun.
Holy moly.
I feel like
someone
he's got to be a good time.
Someone might die after a night out there.
I know, but he's got to be a good time. You know who I think might be a closet under the radar good time, just because I think he's a really funny guy when I talk to him on the side? Spencer Lanning. Spencer Lanning is actually a very entertaining guy.
I would agree with that. And I'll throw in another closet one that I think is a partier more than we think.
Are you guys
think.
In the closet or out the closet?
All right.
Okay.
It's a family show. We'll be in meetings because of that.
We will. Yeah.
Get a slide. I'm going to go Dante Whitner.
Wit, yeah, I bet Wit would be a good time.
I think I think Whitner flies under the radar. In
he
terms
does.
Of partying
I'll say.
A little bit.
I think you're absolutely. I'll say. I believe you're absolutely correct, but you're right. He's a lot more places than people might think. But he's not. I don't believe he's the guy standing on the table. He's the one observing someone else stand on the table.
Yeah, man, I think it's Gronk. I don't think you're saying. I mean, I just don't think there's any question about. I don't know that there's an athlete in sports that I would rather go party. Like, if you go NBA.
Well, I'll say this: partying with an NBA player is significantly different than partying with an NFL player. The reason why is because of the guaranteed contract and the ridiculous amount of money that NBA
Correct.
Players. You can be a bench warmer making the equivalent to what Rob Gronkowski is making in the NBA at the equivalent year. And they spend much more frivolously than an NFL player.
Yes, they
do. So who would be the most fun? Who would be the most fun NBA player?
I don't know yet. I don't know, but I know that I've Stephen Cooper and a few other San Diego Chargers were actually in a club, and they had a bottle buying contest with Antoine Walker,
who's now broke.
It was a game of tops.
Who is now broke? Antoine Walker. What do you think about from a coaching standpoint? Who would be like the number one coach to go party with in the NFL?
Man,
from a
they
head
are
coach.
Some of those. They are so wired tight.
You almost.
Yeah, but when they turn it up.
Yeah, yeah, but it's like those 3 days a year they turn it up.
No,
I'm gonna say I think Pat would be fun to party with.
I was gonna say.
Are you head coaches?
Yeah, head coaches in the NFL. I think Mike Tomlin would be fun to party with.
I think Patton would just chill with a beer in his hand and a stogie in his mouth. Which is nothing wrong with that.
I bet Pat could tie one on.
What do you think? Do you think Tomlin? Tomlin, I feel like it looks like he
I
could
bet
be
you
a good
about, Tomlin will wobble.
What about wobble?
He will do the wobble at you.
He would definitely do the wobble.
What about Pete Carroll?
I don't know. He's a little old.
He's high strung, man.
Yeah, you know, but
Bill Belichick. Let's be honest.
God no.
It's gotta be the best time.
God no.
Well, I mean, it's gotta be what's his face?
You'd have to
the new
Bill
coach
Belichick.
Of the Bills.
Rex Ryan?
Yeah, it's got to be Rex.
Oh, Rex, yeah.
It's got to be sexy Rexy.
Rex will take a case.
So I saw Rex. I saw Rex walking through the in Indy at the Combine. You walk through this mall to get to the hotel, and Rex and Rob Ryan were just strolling together through this mall, and it was – there's something about this. It was just hysterical. It was just a hysterical sight to me. It made me literally laugh. And yes, I think you're right with Rex Ryan. I think he's got to be up there.
Shenanigans would ensue.
John Gruden maybe back in the day.
I was going to say John Gruden.
I would like to party with. I'm trying to look. Jim Harbaugh maybe. I don't know if he's a lot of fun. Mike McCarthy, fun? Not fun.
No, not fun. Good guy, great man, not fun.
Norv Turner?
No.
No?
Antisocial.
Really?
Yes.
I feel like I could see Norv Turner.
Norv Turner would turn up with the quarterbacks, but nobody else.
You know who else would be fun? Sean Payton.
Sean Payton can turn up.
Yeah.
Sean Payton. What about owners? Jerry Jones can get it
oh,
in.
Oh, yeah.
We've seen it get him.
He's got a bus.
There is proof that he can get it in.
The bus was out there. Yeah, Jerry Jones.
Charles in Canton says, who wouldn't party with the Birdman and Sexy Rexy?
The Birdman?
Birdman.
Who's he calling Sexy Rexy? Rex Chapman?
Rex Ryan.
It's got to be Rex Ryan.
Yeah.
Rex Chapman. Come on, Rex Chapman's. He's living
oh,
right now.
Oh, there it is.
He's drinking Pabst Blue Ribbon beer or something.
He's run afoul of the law, unfortunately. One of my favorites as a young man, Rex Ryan. I mean, Rex Chapman.
Don't give an Apple product.
All right. If you missed it, Jerry Glanville says from _ Firestone. Yeah, Jerry Glanville looked like he probably was a good time. Back in the day, I would say Bum Phillips.
Yes. Wade is fun to party with.
Is he?
Yeah. Mellow.
Mellow.
But he's always in the set in the mix.
Was Ron Rivera your defensive coordinator at all?
Yes.
Was he fun to party with? Riverboat Ron? No.
Square.
Very, very Riverboat Ron. How about that? All right. Stay tuned for the Golden Boys here on ESPN 850 WKNR. If you missed it earlier, the Browns' new offensive coordinator, John DeFilippo, the column Flip, was here in studio. And because we liked it, if you go read my tweets, all these people who say, man, you're such a shill for liking John DeFilippo, just go listen to the interview for yourself. Go to get the Browns app. Go to ClevelandBrowns.com. You can listen to it. Form your own opinion. A lot of people actually seem to like it. I thought it was pretty positive feedback to him. And it's good. It's good to get the personality out there again. You can get that interview at ClevelandBrowns.com or on the Browns mobile app after this show. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, thanks to Jason Gibbs, our great producer. Thanks to Casey Koulos, who was in for a few moments. And, of course, thanks to our PR staff for getting us Flip here on CBD. The Golden Boys are up next. So thanks for listening to another edition of Cleveland Browns Daily.
Driven by Liberty Forward.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.